This morning we are continuing in the series of messages on the parables, and today we're talking about the Great Supper. God has always invited us in doing what He is doing in our area. Jesus many times spoke in parable, and He did that for several reasons. First of all, He spoke in parable so that His followers, the believers that were following Him throughout the region and hearing Him teach and hearing Him preach, they would come to understand new things about God and the kingdom of heaven that they never knew before. So He taught in parable to give His believers greater understanding. But He also taught in parable to cause confusion to the religious zealots, the scribes, the Pharisees, and all of those that were marred down in Judaism that were not interested in what He had to say. He spoke in parable to confuse them. Now, I say that because God wants all men to be saved. Amen? But God also knows who's going to participate in His plan of salvation. God invites us to join Him, and that's His invitation. God has always invited man, His creation, to participate in what He is doing. Many times, we get sidetracked. Many times we will believe God wants us to do this or God wants us to do that. And so we will ask God to bless our labor in what we are doing, and then we stand amazed when He doesn't. We go, God, we're doing this for You. Why are You not blessing us? We've asked You to bless us, and we're just struggling along, accomplishing only what we can accomplish. See, God is not interested in us doing our thing to bless Him. God never asked us to do things for Him to bless Him or even to bring Him glory and honor. No, no, no. God does not do that. No, what God does is He says, I am constantly working around you. And you need to see where I am working and join me in my endeavor. Now, when we realize that God is constantly at work around us, when we see and get a glimpse of His hand moving in someone's life, or Him massaging and changing some circumstance or situation, and we join Him in what He is doing, there is always a crisis of belief that we come running into. We wonder, God, this is too big. This is too great. This is too grand. There's no way that I can do this. And God says, great. Because I don't want you to accomplish it. I want you to join me so that when it is accomplished, people will see that it was greater than you, and they will know that I have been at work. That's what God wants. So that crisis of belief, we slam right into it. It's too large, too big. God, we can't do this. And when we join Him, then we're able to see His hand move, and we're able to see Him accomplish things that only He can do. When that happens, we experience God, and the people around us experience God as well. They experience God through us. Now, God has always invited man to join Him. In His creation, God invited Adam and Eve to walk with Him. And they did that in the cool of the day. Problem was, sin entered into their lives. They did what God said don't do. God said, don't eat of the this tree. I'll give you everything else, but don't eat of this tree, because in the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. What did they do? They ate of that tree. And because of that, they saw themselves as being naked, and they were shamed, and they did not want to be in the presence of God, nor could God be in their presence. So God had to take an animal and slay the animal and take the skin off the animal and cover them in animal skins. And that's why he covered their nakedness. He covered their nakedness, but the animal had to die. And that's why without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Somebody has to die. So Adam now could not walk with God as he had before. So sad. We also see that Noah was a godly man. And he saw the world as being perverse and dark and evil. So God invited him to join him and said, I want you to build this ark. And Noah is going, whoa, dude, it's way too big. And for those of you that have been to the ark, you'll realize it was big. Amen? So God builds the ark through Noah. He blesses him. He strengthens him. He shows him how to do this. And so after all of the building of the ark, everything's loaded, the grain, the water, the animals, his family. And the Bible said, with the doors being open, and yet 7 days. And God closed the door. 7 days. Everything was loaded and ready to go, and God continued to invite, but no one came. Everyone resisted. Everyone rebelled. Why? Because God was inviting them, and they didn't want anything to do with God. And yet 7 days, and God closed the door. We see God inviting man all the time. We see that when Jesus is walking through the streets, there's a man of small stature and he climbs a tree so that he can have a better view of what's going on because there's a lot of people walking and he wants to see what's going on. And his name was Zacchaeus, and Jesus stopped and said, Zacchaeus, come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. That was the invitation. Jesus had sent the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side, and a storm blew up. So Jesus calmed the storm, and days later, they're out there on the Sea of Galilee again, and Jesus is walking to them, and it's kind of misty, and some of the guys in the boat think it's a ghost, and Peter says, I think it's the Lord. And he says, if that be you, Lord, bid me to come. And Jesus said to him, come. There's the invitation. So Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water. And then he sees that the wind is boisterous and the wind is raging and the waves are slapping up against his legs. And there's the crisis of belief. I can't walk on water. Are you crazy? I can't do this. Lord, save me, as he begins to sink. So Jesus reaches out and grabs him. We also see when Jesus was born, the angels go out in the countryside where the shepherds are tending the flocks of sheep, and they say, come and see the place where the baby lays. There's the invitation again. In the last book of the Bible called the Revelation, John heard and saw things that he could not explain. And God said, come up here. There's the invitation again. Every time God is moving, he is inviting man to join him. God has done his part. in that he gave his son to us. His son has done his part by willingly going to the cross at Calvary and becoming the sacrifice for you and I. The Holy Spirit has done his part in convicting our hearts of sin and our need of a Savior. God has done his part. He continues to invite, but man resists. Man rebels. Man begs off. Man chooses darkness rather than light. That's why this story is so important this morning. The story of the Great Supper. Turn with me this morning to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke chapter 14. And we're going to begin in verse 16. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Now you're going to say, I can't see that. That's okay. We've only got one more slide with color, and then it's going to go to blue screen. And then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you are constantly inviting us to join you in what you are doing. We are so thankful that you have much greater things to accomplish than what we could ever imagine. We thank you that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, your ways are higher than our ways, and that you want to accomplish great and glorious things through us. Father God, thank you for involving us in that process. We pray that we might be wise today, that we might not be foolish as these individuals were. And Father, that we might truly see that just taking on one more thing, just doing one more thing, just one more thing can truly bring your kingdom to pass. So Father God, we thank you. We pray that you'll speak to every heart that is here today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I believe that God wants us to see is the great celebration. The celebration. Whenever a celebration is going to take place, whether it is an anniversary or maybe a birthday or maybe a baby shower or whatever the case might be, whatever the celebration is, the invitations are sent out. The invitations are sent out. Look with me, please, at verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a supper and bade many. See, invitations are sent out in advance of the celebration time. We all know we have received invitations. Each one of us have received invitations. Save the date. Amen. Someone's getting married, or someone's celebrating an anniversary, or someone's having a birthday, and we want to keep it a surprise. So save the date. The invitations are sent out. And here we see that the master was going to have a great supper. So he sent out the invitations ahead of time. Why? So people can plan. So people can organize. So people can attend and be a part of this celebration. See, that's what God wants. He wants us to attend. He gives us an invitation, and he sends it out ahead of time so that we can save the date, so to speak. The invitations are sent out, but more than that, the invitations are sought out. They're sought out. Look at verse 17 with me. And he sent his servants at supper time. Now, this is the time the celebration is going to take place. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. It's customary during Eastern culture and even in Western culture, after you send out the invitations, there's many times an RSVP needed where you respond and let them know, are you going to be able to attend? Are you going to be able to come to our celebration? Are you going to be part of this great banquet? Because we want to celebrate and we want you to be a part of it. So the invitations are sought out. Many times when they would send those invitations out in advance, the master would then send his servant out right before the celebration, and he would go to all of those places where the invitations were, and he would take their RSVP. Can you make it tonight? Can you make it tonight? Can you make it tonight? Jesus is that one that comes in this parable. The master has a banquet and he sends his servant, and yes, Jesus is at that time his servant because he's acting as a servant of God. He comes on the scene and he bids all to come to him because the time is now. We see that the master truly wants all of the people that he sent the invitations to be a part of this banquet, this great banquet. So, the first invitation that God gives us is the invitation to salvation. Look with me in Matthew, the 11th chapter. The invitation to salvation. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation to salvation. I was raised in church. Heard all about the gospel, always thought that I was heaven bound, thought that I was saved, thought that I was a Christian because my parents were Christians and raised me in a Christian home. I knew I wasn't Muslim, I knew I wasn't Buddhist, I knew I wasn't Indian, I knew all of those things. I'd been to Sunday school and had perfect attendance. But God continually spoke to my heart. God continually invited me to salvation. One night I had to give my heart and life to Jesus after I'd been to church and I heard the gospel and I knew that if I died before I woke, I was going to split hell wide open. So I gave my heart and life to Jesus. And my life has never been the same. But not only does he give us an invitation to salvation, he gives us an invitation to serve. Look with me in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What? You mean there's more to being a Christian than just accepting Christ as your Savior? Yes. There's more to that. It's not a part of one's salvation, but when you're saved, he invites you to serve. Let me ask you a question. Where are you serving in this church? Where are you serving in this church? God calls every individual that he has given the invitation to for salvation, he invites them to serve. But what happens in our church today is far from the gospel. Why? Because 80% of the people do, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Because there's a lot of people that are saved, that are giving their heart and life to Jesus, but all they do is warm a chair, warm a pew. That's not serving God. Oh yes, you might be nice to your neighbor. You might help somebody from time to time. That's not service. God wants you to serve. God wants you to be a servant. And that's why he invites you after you are saved. After he has invited you to salvation, he invites you to serve. Not only that, he invites us to surrender. Look with me in Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, not to some, but to all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What? Yep. That's what he said. Jesus said that, not Craig, your pastor. Jesus said, I am inviting you to sacrifice. Excuse me, to surrender. I got one ahead. See, when he invites you to salvation and invites you to serve, he's going to invite you to surrender to his way, to his path, to what he is doing. That's his plan for us. His plan is not that we would accept Christ as our Savior, get baptized, be a member of the church, and then just live our lives like we did before and come to church every now and then. That's not his plan. That's not what he wants. He wants children that will love him and serve him and that will surrender to his way. Because his way is higher than our way. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when we surrender, we realize there's just no way we can accomplish this. Not only does he want us to be saved and to serve and surrender, but he wants us to sacrifice. Look with me in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to sacrifice. He doesn't want an old dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice that people can see us serving, surrendering to the one who breathed the breath of life into us. Oh, God wants us to be saved. He wants us to serve. He wants us to surrender. He wants us to sacrifice so that people can see what he is doing. But more than that, he wants us to support. Notice what Romans chapter 10 says. Verse 14 and 15 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God invites us to support and to be a part of what he is doing. Now, we get to the crux of the matter in this next portion, and that's the complaints. Notice with me, please, first of all, the purchasing excuse. Look at our main text once again in verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, isn't that peachy? Isn't that nice? The purchasing excuse, buying a piece of property sight unseen? How many of us do that? None. Why? Because that's foolish. We would never buy property sight unseen. And if this man did that, he is a foolish man. But we know he's a foolish man because he wants to use that as an excuse. I need to go see the land that I just bought sight unseen. He thinks it's a great thing. He thinks it's a glorious thing. Well, I've got so much money, I can just buy without even looking at it. Well, isn't that great? Guy is using a purchasing excuse, but more than that, notice the other complaint, the proving excuse, verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's 10, by the way. 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. You're going to buy 10 oxen without seeing if they'll hitch up right, without proving them first to see if they'll tighten up and that they'll pull a load? You're going to buy 10 oxen without ever trying them out? Why, you are a foolish man too. But he's using that as an excuse. You suppose the master knows the real excuse? I would imagine. But notice the third excuse, and this is the one I really can identify with. That's the pleasure excuse. Notice verse 20 with me. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the best excuse possible. Well, I just have to spend time with the little miss. That's a logical excuse, amen? That's a logical excuse because, you know, a happy wife is a happy life, amen? You're going to throw something at me pretty soon, aren't you? Yeah, I thought so. I'll duck behind the podium here. But, you know, what better thing to do than to take your new little miss to the banquet? Instead of staying home from the banquet with the little miss. Why? That brings us right into our own personal excuses. Amen? Because, see, we use foolish excuses. We can look around today and see the members that aren't here. And no, I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to you. You're still going to throw things at me today, aren't you? You're going to say, it's not good having the pastor back. I know. When I don't get to preach, I get spiritually constipated and I just got to let her go. Yeah. I'm the one working up here. Look at the sweat. Personal excuses. Well, my child is sick. So the whole family has to stay home and wipe their nose, right? There you go. Well, that's the only day that I can truly relax. What? Is that what Christ did on the cross for you? Is he relaxed? Well, that's a day of recreation for me. It's family time. Really? Well, I really can't go to church today because I just don't have the time. I've got to, it's time to go. See you guys. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going home. 12 o'clock by my watch. Yep, 12 o'clock by that watch. It's time. I just don't have the time. I don't have the time. See, God will give you the time if you try using that excuse, because I truly believe that God knows the excuse. I was working at ConAgra as their plant manager. We had an order to do. We had 5 rail cars that we needed to fill with turkey feed sending down to Tyson Foods in Springdale, Arkansas. They had bought this 1,000 tons because each rail car will hold 200 tons. They had bought this 1,000 tons of turkey feed from ConAgra to feed Tyson turkeys, butterball turkeys. It's my job to make sure everything went smooth. Well, we got the first car all loaded because, see, the grain and the feed have to be mixed in the proper ration. And after it's mixed in the proper ration, it's sent up the elevator into a storage bin, and that storage bin is opened up, and it's over the pellet mills, and then that feed comes down, and it's pelleted so that it flows better, and it's easier to digest after it's been pelleted. But it's pelleted, and it's very hot when it comes out. It's like 500 degrees when it comes out of the pellet mill. So it's got to go through a cooler, and it goes through this cooler, and the cooler dumps into another auger that takes it to another leg, that takes it to a storage bin, and then it's cooled, and it then gets loaded out onto the rail car. Well, in the middle of the process, the auger that's going to the leg that's going up to the storage bin breaks down. And now the cooler is dumping out a bunch of pellets all around that conveyor, that auger that's not moving. And it dumps 30 tons out there. I mean, we're in pellets this deep. We're trying to dig the thing out so that we can fix the auger. And about that time, the vice president of ConAgra comes out to the feed mill to see what the problem is. So I go up to meet him. And he says, "Craig, what's the problem?" I said, "Well, the auger broke down, and then the cooler dumped a bunch of pellets all over the auger, and we had to dig the auger out just to repair it." "Craig, what's the problem?" So I tried to explain the problem like he didn't understand it. And after saying that the second time, he said, "Mr. Ballard, excuses only satisfy the people that are giving them. Think about it. Excuses only satisfy the person that's giving it." In other words, he didn't want to hear any excuses. He wanted to see results. And I was the person responsible to deliver up those results. Oh, I loved my job. I had a foot up my hiney most of the time, because they could always find some kind of fault, some kind of problem. And I was in the direct chain of command right under the vice president of the company. Oh, joy. So he wanted to see results. I want to see those other four rail cars loaded by the end of the day, so that when the Union Pacific comes through, it can stop and pick them up tonight. It's like, oh my goodness. You're talking about 800 tons. We don't have that ability. We only do 300 tons a day. We can't do 800 tons by the evening. We still got to fix this. "Mr. Ballard, do I need to repeat what I said before?" We stayed to the wee hours that night to get the rest of the 800 tons done. And Lou Ayers was there at 6 a.m. the next morning to see the Union Pacific engine back in, hitch up to the five rail cars and pull them out to Springdale, Arkansas. Excuses only satisfy the person that is giving them. Now, I'm going to bring this down to where the rubber meets the road. Do you all love me? Yeah, I know, it's conditional, right? If I bring warm, fuzzy messages, yeah, you love the thunder out of me. But if I bring one that just chops your feet off at the end of your leg, you don't like that very much. But I'm going to say it anyway. You know, about two-thirds of you won't even be here tonight to hear the rest of this message. What's your excuse? God knows your excuse. And excuses only satisfy the people that are giving them. He has a banquet for you. You know, the funniest thing is, people will call me or talk to me, and they'll ask me questions. I'll kind of chuckle inside because I just covered that Sunday night or Wednesday night. But they weren't there. Had they been there, they would have heard that and they wouldn't even be asking me this question at this time. So, a third of you will come tonight, two-thirds of you won't. So I ask you, what's your excuse? What's your excuse that you're going to give God? Oh, it doesn't matter to me. I get paid the same. Do you still love me? Well, Pastor, I'd like positive messages. Well, I'm positive that two-thirds of you won't come. That's just the way it is. Two-thirds of you won't come Wednesday night for Bible study. And we're studying some great stuff. Ask the ones that come. We're filling up the fellowship hall. What I believe God really wants, and this is where I believe we need to really apply it, is this. If I'm doing this right now, God wants me to step up by one. Step it up by one. Not by 10. Step it up by one. That means if you're only coming two Sundays a month, step it up by one. Come three. That's not hard. If you're coming Sunday morning and not Sunday night or Wednesday night, step it up by one. Come Sunday night or come Wednesday night. Step it up by one. That's easy to do. That's something, guess what, that we can do. And when you do, you'll see that being a church member is more than just being saved. It's more than just being baptized. It's more than just serving Him once in a great while. But it's about surrendering. It's about sacrifice. It's about support. It's about allowing Him to work in your life so that others get to experience God through you. Step it up by one. The invitation this morning is this. I'd ask you to come and pray about that. I'd ask you to come and pray about that because I don't believe that God would ever say, nah, you don't need to do that. You're just fine where you're at. No, because God is always challenging us. And it doesn't matter how much we do, God is always challenging us. Maybe if you're doing a lot, God wants you to talk to someone else to bring them into the fold. Help them to be an assistant to you so that someday they can take that over. That's what it's all about. It's about being brothers and sisters in Christ. Step it up by one. If our worship team will come. I invite you today to simply make this a matter of prayer. Maybe there's something you need to pray about. Because you realize you just haven't been the person you need to be, that God is working in your life, that God is wanting you to step it up. Maybe there's someone that you need to pray for that you know need your prayers. I'm going to ask you to step it up and come and pray for them. That's the invitation today. So as our worship team leads us, I'm going to ask you to stand and to respond as God has led you.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee. God, I come. Just as I am in waiting night to rid my soul of one dark cloud, to thee whose blood can cleanse sweet sorrow, Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, by things within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, thou wilt receive, with just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy love was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. And all of God's people said, it's good, been good to be in God's house today. Hopefully you feel the same. I do invite you to come back, because tonight is going to be the great time of putting this all together. And we'll see exactly what God is wanting in each and every one of our lives through tonight's message. So I invite you to come back tonight as God invites you. Okay? So let's be dismissed. Father God, we thank you so much. We pray that as we are dismissed today, Father, that you will bring us all back tonight, that we might truly cherish the time that we are together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we can truly see how you are working in and through this church to reach this community. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.